So we are moving from this building, but we were talking so much about this church, and Natasha was telling us how this is a special church for her because this is kind of where she really got to be part of the church, and they came to worship together. And I know this place has a lot of meaning for a lot of people. For me, the first church will probably be my favorite because that was when we became a church. So we have different things that we remember in. This was not our first building. This is our fourth building. And so now we'd be in our fifth building. And after that, maybe our own building, but we'll see. As we were talking, and I started thinking of how all of us are created a little bit differently. For instance, Ed, he's different than I am. He's much more attached to things. Like when we sell a house, he's attached to the old house. Well, I'm thinking of the new house. Like, okay, we can leave this behind. Let's go forward, right? I don't know if everybody's like that, but they were different. He sells his car, and he's like, oh, my car. I'm like, oh, a new car. I like the new car. So however you are, I'm very excited about the new car, but I know that people are feeling a sense of grieving and loss as we're moving from this place to another place, and I understand that. I understand that. But I do know that God's told us to move to the other place, and I'm going to get to that in my message. When all this occurred, as we were talking, I was talking to Ed about things and talking to people, I want you to know that James and I, and James has done so many things in this church, you have no idea what he does. He's the head of our board. But we would be looking at our bills every month, and then our income every month. And they really were not matching very well. How much do we pay for rent currently? $4,100 a month for this building. That's without utilities. And utilities are about $1,000. So really about $5,100 a month. So $5,000 a month more than $5,000 a month we're paying just to be here. If we look at Sundays, it's about $1,250 a month we're paying each Sunday to be here. Now, most churches are in communities where they have a building and you have a neighborhood that comes to your church. So you do a lot of things throughout the week at the church. There's the men's group, the women's group, the stuff. But this church is different because none of you live anywhere close to here. You drive from Canton. I mean, you drive from Douglasville. You drive from Kirkwood, right? Yeah, you're close. Madison. I mean, you guys are all over the place. So you're coming from a lot of places. So we can't say, okay, Monday night we have this, Tuesday night we have that, and you go, or would you drive down every week in the traffic of Atlanta to come down for something? No. We tried to do Wednesday night Bible study, and it was really even difficult for that. So it wasn't the best use of, one, God's resources, and two, of course, your resources. So that's one of the primary reasons we were going to move. And as a matter of fact, when they came to us with the lease, they even wanted to charge us more than we're currently paying. So like, okay, that was the first indication that I was being poked by a thorn. Okay, remember that poking. I want to talk to you about something. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And throughout scripture, 32 times, the word eagle is associated from the scripture to give us an analogy of who we are. So it's telling us we will soar like eagles. 32 times. In scripture, when I hear something 32 times, I need to pay attention to it because God is trying to tell me something. There's only 8 scriptures that the church says refers to us as LGBT, which it doesn't. But 32 is a lot more than 8. I'm not a mathematician, but I know it's more. So I want to kind of go through eagles and turn to your neighbor and say, you are an eagle. You are an eagle. Two of our best friends, Yolande, she started a group called Eagle's Nest, and I was a part of that. It was a group, it was a Christian group. They're Christians, they're ministers. And we actually had conferences where we would go and teach on worship. And it was about Eagle's Nest. So she loves eagles too. And so her wife, Bing Lee, who loves, adores her wife, always wants to do special things for Yolande. And so they scheduled this trip to go see these eagles. It was a little cold that day, so they're all bundled up in their coat, but determined to see the eagles. Here's Yolande. We're all on this little this little track, and there's no cover because you have to be like outside and exposed in the back of this truck type of thing, and they're all bundled up, and they spot an eagle, and they're so excited. It's worth the trip. 2 hours, no eagle, and they see it flying around, so they're taking pictures, and all of a sudden, Yolande says, that's not an eagle. That's a vulture. They are so close together that from a distance you can't tell them apart. They look very similar, but an eagle feeds on live things, but a vulture feeds on dead things. An eagle soars, a vulture spends much of its time on the ground. But to someone from far away, they look the same. So I want to encourage you to be an eagle, to feed on live things and not dead things. Dead things, Pastor Keith, what's a dead thing? Let me tell you, just like Pastor Deb was talking about, all that stuff in social media, dead. All these arguments, all these political things, that's death. If you're feeding, don't get involved in social justice, but those are dead things if that's what you're feeding your spirit. Those are dead things. God wants us to feed on life, and life is, oh, he loves you. Yes, he loves you. He created you in his image. He is your father, and he loves you with an unending love. Those are live things. Encourage people with those things. When people are saying, oh, our country is going down the drain, say, you know what, but God is not. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's life. That's eagle thinking, not vulture thinking. So I'm going to tell you a few characteristics about eagles. You want to hear this? Okay. So they live approximately 70 years, very close to human lifespan. Eagles, they mate for life. As a matter of fact, somebody that used to come to church here said, don't be a stick dropper. And that goes with a sermon that I taught. The eagles mate for life, but they have a ritual. They make sure that the person they're mating with for life is going to hit the bar. We should do that, I would think. Some of us don't, but we should do that. The female goes and says, okay, you interested in me? And the male eagle says, oh, yeah, I am. And she says, come follow me. So she takes off, and the male eagle follows her. And she dives down, and she picks up a stick. Then she soars up with the stick, and she drops that stick while she's flying. And that now it's that time. That male eagle has the do-or-die situation, has to soar and catch that stick with either his beak or his talons, and then go and bring it down to the ground. So she knows he can cut the mustard, so I suppose to say. Then she'll say, okay, not quite yet. You passed the first test. Now let's come to the second one. So she gets a bigger stick. And she goes even higher up. And she drops that stick even higher. So now it's just tumbling toward the ground. And that eagle says, okay, here I go. I want to be with you. And does everything it can and catches that stick and brings it to the ground. The last time the eagle does this, she finds a log, the largest log that she can carry her own weight and her own power, and she goes as high as she can, and she drops that log. And if that poor male eagle fumbles, he is done. She is not going to be that mate for life. So the male eagle, if he catches that log and puts it down on the ground, she says, okay, you have passed that test. And what's done next is beautiful. They actually lock talons and begin to sing to each other as they spin in the air. It's documented. You can look it up. They sing a song as they spin in the air, saying, I'm committing to you for life. That's the eagle. We can put that in the Christian realm. Don't date a stick dropper. Don't do it. Oh, there's a lot of stick dropping dating people in here. Don't do that, because when you do, you're going to have some lot of issues going forward in the future from that. Make sure they're carrying those sticks. Make sure they can catch those sticks, because you need somebody through that your duration of your life that's going to be there with you and help you. Amen? The other thing about eagles I love is both eagles raise the kids. It's not one eagle's responsibility for the other. You will see father eagles on the nest during the winter. Woo, that's a good thing. Because both have a purpose in the life of the eaglets. You can't just have the mother, you can't have the father. You know, I know that it's hard sometimes, especially if you come from abuse and sexual abuse, male and female both, and not to see God as a father. If you haven't had a really good father, it's very difficult to see God as a father. And I understand that. Not my dad was fine, but I understand that issue. But you have to understand the nature of the Father, because that's what God is trying to say. The Father doesn't just protect you, he also stretches you. The mother nurtures you and coddles you. But the father's the one that's going to say, now it's time to get out of the nest. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this. So building the nest. I consider this our nest. We have a great nest here. We've been here for several years, and this is our nest. This is where we come together every week, and we worship God. This is our nest. Now, as far as the eagle's nest, they build their nest as high as possible, away from predators. So I think about Colossians. It says, set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, for our life is hidden with Christ. So God is telling us when we build our nest, set it high on things about God, not about temporal things, not about houses and lands and all these things. Set it on God, and your nest is going to be built correctly. Then it says, the nest is in constant repair. They don't abandon their nest. Now, some of you have ever, we've rescued birds before. Years ago, we had a house, we still have a house in Stockbridge. And in the garden, we were mowing the lawn, and I heard chirping. And it was these little song sparrows that had built a nest, but one of them had fallen out of the nest. So I got my Home Depot cap, and the nest had fallen on the ground. And I put the nest together, and I put it in the cap, in the tree, and I put the little babies into the nest. And some of you are saying, don't touch those babies. The mother will not feed them. That is not true. I Googled it. It is not true, and the internet is always true. But sure enough, when I put the babies in that nest, when I put the babies in that nest, the mother came back and began to feed the babies, and we could watch it from the bedroom window, the mother feeding the babies. And I became very protective of my little babies. Nothing was going to hurt my babies. They were going to get a chance for a good life. So I Googled again and said, what is the biggest predator of the song sparrow? You would think a cat, a raccoon, a snake. None of those. The biggest predator of a song sparrow is the brown-headed cowbird. Now, the brown-headed cowbird is about twice the size of the sparrow when it grows up. However, the eggs are very similar, and when they're born, they look very similar. It's hard to tell them apart when they're babies. So what happens is the brown-headed cowbird's parents are not good parents. They will lay the egg of their offspring in the nest of another bird, looking specifically for birds that are weaker than their baby's going to be. So picture this. You have this nest of four baby sparrow eggs, and the brown-headed cowbird says, okay, I'm going to lay one of my eggs in this nest and let somebody else take care of my kid. So all the babies hatch, and the mother begins to feed the babies. And all of a sudden, one of the babies becomes a little bit bigger than the others. It's a brown-headed cowbird. So next, when the mother comes to feed, that baby grabs more of the nourishment and the nutrition from the mother. And what happens is the weak babies in the nest don't get enough, and they die. That's how they're a big danger to the sparrows. So don't let the enemy lay a brown-headed cowbird in your nest. Make sure that it's God's appointed chicks in your nest and that all of your energy and time will go into that. There are some people in your life that are just going to take from you and drain you. And the purpose is the enemy has them in your life with drama and with problems. And you as a good person just want to help them and want to do all these things. But you are not serving God in your full capacity because a lot of your attention is now going to a brown-headed cowbird that is not meant to even be in your nest. Do you see what I'm saying? The enemy plans that to get you distracted so that you can't do what God's calling you to do. That's the brown-headed cowbird. You can look that one up too. We're just learning about all kinds of avos right now, right? These aviary things, creatures. So the construction of the nest of these eagles, getting back to this, it's the same nest. It constantly builds the same nest. And in Jude 20, it says, but you, dear brothers and sisters, carefully build up yourselves by faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we have to pray over ourselves and build ourselves up. If I can't get full myself, I can't give out life. So the first priority has to be your relationship with God first. Build yourself up and then minister after that. I'm speaking ministry not just for those who are ministers, but in life as we minister. Make sure that we have our connection with God first. Do you know what the first three thing, the first thing that the parents do for the nest is? They take three sticks and they make a triangle at the very bottom of the nest. That's the foundation. I love the fact that it's the three like the Trinity. It's the three logs that are at the bottom. That's the foundation that they begin to build their nest off. They go and get twigs and they get vines and they wrap the vines around the dead things. So you have the life wrapped around all of these sticks. And I love this other part too, because the parents will go out and find shiny things, like an object, like a metal or aluminum foil, and they'll put those things in the nest so that the babies can enjoy something shiny. Something shiny, something shiny. I like shiny things. Because they call them toys for the eaglets. The parents care about their kids. God has great things for us too. He doesn't want us just working all the time. He likes us to enjoy our life and enjoy each other and enjoy Him. He's a good God, just like these are good parents with the eagles. So they put those things inside the nest. Then they do something that makes sense. They go and find thorns, the biggest thorns that they can find, and they place thorns on the outside of the nest. Makes a lot of sense. If a predator's coming in and they're trying to climb into the nest, the thorns are going to help deter them from getting inside of the nest. But then they look for a few smaller thorns. And they place these thorns inside of the nest. That doesn't sound so great if you're an eaglet. Who wants to be inside a nest afraid you're going to hit a thorn all the time? So they place thorns inside of the nest, but then they do something. They go and, of course, they eat animals, and they'll take the skins and the furs of those animals, and they will pad those to cover the thorns so that the babies don't feel those thorns in the nest. So it's kind of like, you know, a lounge chair with the fur. And they'll even take feathers from their own breast and put feathers to soften those thorns. So when the babies hatch, they don't feel those thorns. They're fine. They're relaxing. They're lounging around. This is pretty good. I'm getting fed. I'm enjoying myself. But then when it's time, and this is the father who does this, the father says, okay, now I need to get them a little bit stronger, because who wants an eaglet leaning all the time? So in order to get their feet or their talons strong, the father will come in and begin to carefully remove a few of the furs and a few of the feathers. And every now and then, a little poke will poke the baby eaglet, and he moves away from that. The whole purpose is to get them to stand on their own two feet and not to just lean against. God does that too. He'll poke us. Worse than Facebook pokes. He will poke you a little bit and say, ooh, yeah, I need to kind of stand on my own two feet. He wants us to become adults. He wants us to grow up. And so does the parents. You don't want a 30-year-old eagle still in the nest. Believe me. So you have these eaglets with these pokers. So all of a sudden, then as it gets a little bit longer, the father comes in and removes all of the furs and all of the feathers so that the eagle is forced to stay in one place and build up its strength in its feet. Then the father comes along, and that's when they begin to try the flying process. How it works is the mother will begin to say, okay, it's time, and she'll grab one of the eaglets and place it on the back of her body, and she'll begin to fly. Just kind of like, think about a simulator. You're not doing the work, but you are watching this. So she's flying around. So the baby's getting the feel of what it feels like to fly with the air and the looks and turning. And the eagle will be like, this is really cool. I'm sure the eagle is scared at first, but knowing that he's safe on his mother's back, okay, this is a really cool thing. And the eaglet begins to go over the trees and it's hearing the sounds and like, I like this. And so the mother will do that a few times. And then the next day we'll try it again. The next day is going to be a little bit different for the eagle. Because the mother will do that. And he's like, I got this down. I'm going for my ride with mom. Hops on the back, waiting, going around all of these things. And all of a sudden the mother does what the eagle in its life would never think would happen. She flips over. And all of a sudden, the baby eagle is forced to begin to try to use its wings. Picture it as it begins to go down. If it cannot, sometimes it can, if it cannot, that's when the father comes in place, because he's watching the entire process. From the distance, you can't see the father, but he's in a tree or he's near a rock somewhere. He's watching the entire process. And if that baby is not making it, that father swoops down and catches the baby upon his back. There's a scripture where in Jeremiah that talks about that. And it talks about the father eagle and us being caught and riding on the back of God. So when we decided that this church, we had to move somewhere, I said, God, what I want you to do is I want you to let us demonstrate an act of faith. Now, were we fearful? Yeah. I'm being honest. I mean, you know what? We didn't know what God was going to do. We didn't know if we'd have a building. But I said, God, I want as a body for them to see us go through this process. And so we began that process. We began to look at other options. And one of them came about was the theater. And so... And it was really funny. Somebody he's a straight guy. He's a straight ally. And he's come a couple times. He lives in Cartersville. And he told me, he said, years ago, I was eating lunch with him. He said, if you guys ever need to look at a building, you need to look at this improv theater in Midtown. He said, because it would be perfect for a church. And I just filed that away. So I went and saw that after. I'm like, okay, this is great. I looked at a church building. We looked at a synagogue, which would have worked really good. It was a Jewish synagogue that was going to welcome us, but they had no parking. So, and I said, okay, that might not work for us. It works for them because on Saturdays, they can park at the church across the street, but they had no parking. And then I went to the Seventh-day Adventist church because I'm thinking, okay, what churches don't meet on Sunday mornings? Seventh-day Adventist, because the Sabbath is on a Saturday. So I went there. I met the straight church. And actually, that looked really like a promising option for us. They wanted a lot more money, but it was outside the perimeter. It was a church building. It still didn't feel quite right. But we're going through all of this. I said, but God, I know you've got the building for us. So I go to the improv theater. They're amazing. They're like, we would like to have you guys because we know you need this. They weren't like, we want you here. We would like to have you because we know you guys need a space. We'll try to make it work. But there were a few things that were a problem. One, there was a CrossFit place right next door to that building that on Sundays, they take the parking lot as an obstacle course. And so I'm like, our church would not do well with having to go through obstacle course to get to church. And plus, he said, the music may be very loud during church service. I'm like, well, we're all about music, so we want you to complain about us, not us to complain about you with the music. So I'm like, God, this still doesn't feel right either. You've got to do this because I know you want us somewhere. That's when I get a call from someone who wants us. We didn't reach out to him. Another theater. They had heard about us looking at a theater and said, we would love for you guys to come and stay in our place. Now that's God. I didn't go to them. They contacted us, heard about us, and we met them. And so we felt like that was it. We've actually met there once. We've had worship time there, which worked really well. How many of you were at the new place? Did you like it? It's really cool. It's in West Midtown, and so we're excited about that. And it's best thing of all, it is a gay theater. So it's called Alt Front Theater. It's a gay theater. They have gay shows there. As a matter of fact, right now, the one that they're doing is about the gay bar in New Orleans that was the first one burned down. And then, so they write about our community. And they also have a production company in there. And they have the gay men's chorus meets there. And they have a women's chorus. And what they said was, we have meetings all together sometimes to plan our calendars. So are you okay meeting with these other groups? I'm like, oh, yes. I am so okay with meeting with these other groups. And for us getting to know them and them getting to know us. That's really what we felt like God was leading us. And then I want to share with this with you. And I didn't share the scripture with anybody, but I want to share it with you. So I'm like, God, we need to know for sure if this is what we're supposed to do. And he gave me these two words. The first was vanguard, and the second was rear guard. If God ever gives you words off the cuff like that, look them up. Now, a vanguard is a bunch of scouts who go out and explore new possibilities, especially when you're moving. It's like an army going into a new territory. And so he's like, you were the vanguard. You have gone in and you have looked in new territory for this building. But a rear guard is different. The rear guard are those who protect us from the rear, but they also come along and they, it says, but also those who stay behind to make sure that we're not leaving anything of value behind. So I was vanguarding. Pastor Deb, you were one of the rear guards. She was making sure that our people are okay, that nobody's being left behind. Jonathan was kind of in the middle, so we had a great team. And so I was scouting out. She was like, but we have to make sure. So we're like, okay, timing, because I was ready to move right then. They said, what about 6 months? We're like, we talked to our landlords. We had to pay a little more, but we got out of the lease in 6 months. So the timing works. So it was perfect for us. 6 months was enough time for the rear guard people, for the rear guard to help our people be on subject or in line. Makes sense? And then the vanguards are already there. So, but listen to the scripture. This is what did it to me. In the NIV, it says rear guard. But let me read what the message says. It is time to get out of here. Leave this place. Don't look back. Don't contaminate yourself with plunder. Don't forget about the things that you're leaving behind. Purify yourselves in the process with worship, carrying the holy vessels of God before you. But you don't have to be in a hurry. Be in my time. You're not running from anybody. I am leading you out of here, and I yourself will be your rear guard. Isn't that pretty cool? So this whole process, God has been telling us that you've got the vision because I have the vision. You were okay because I know where you're going, and we've got to see this take place. So it's okay to doubt in your life of faith. It's a natural process to go through these things in faith because the end result, God will always come through if we just don't give up. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are our rear guard, that you are leading us and you are guiding us and you are communicating with us and you are helping us walk by faith and not by sight. So pray for those who individually right now are going through areas in your life where you may need to be that rear guard for them. Know that you will be there, Lord, in every situation of their life. And I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, even now for those who are stick droppers, that you would teach us not to drop sticks, but to get focused on you and to get strong in you. That those of us who are drawn to stick droppers, that you will keep us, that you will keep us focused, that you have the right one who will not drop the stick for us. I pray now, Lord, even as we go into this outreach with pride, that you will lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.